Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Donald G. Me, myself, I am a home cook slash self-proclaimed chef, and I had catering business. I also just cook for fun for other people. And what I ended up doing is what happened is health reasons. I ended up eating healthier and cooking healthier and things of that nature. And so, everyone else how to eat healthier and cook better for themselves, but still have the same flavors and tastes that you want out of everything else. Even though it's healthy, it tastes good. So, today's meal, I'm going to make my version of a shepherd's pie. Everyone has the Irish version. For those that don't know, shepherd's pie is an Irish dish, and it was originally made with leftover roast. So, in order for me to make that, I have to make a roast, and then I'll have to have it left over. Now I have to cook it, and so that's too long of a process. So today I'm using ground turkey. Some people in today's world use ground beef or ground lamb. Today I'm using ground turkey because it's a little more on the healthier side. And my vegetables of choice will actually be, instead of peas and carrots, because my daughter doesn't seem to like peas and carrots for some strange reason, so I'm going to use broccoli and cheese. And then I'm actually going to put this in a pie crust. So what I have going right now is I have garlic, salt, pepper, ground turkey, and some chopped up green pepper going in the skillet right now. I'm cooking that, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to brown that. And in the meantime, I'm going to make a side of gravy as well. And also, I have about 4 or 5 Yukon Gold potatoes diced up, boiling in hot water right now. So I have that going as well. And what we're going to do is we're just going to put this all together, and we're going to make a nice little meal out of it. So what I have done so far, just to bring you up to speed where I am, I have diced 3 cloves of garlic, 1/2 of a green bell pepper, I have 1 pound of ground turkey, salt, pepper to taste, and I use sea salt. Some people use regular salt, you know, that's their salt of choice. You use what you like. And I also have, again, Yukon Gold potatoes diced up, boiling in water right now. And what I'm going to do while all of that's going, because I'm going to serve this with a simple Caesar salad. So just imagine a pie that's something in a pie crust. So, you know, your normal, everyday apple pie, you know, it's all in the crust and everything. Well, this is going to be a meat pie, basically. And that's all a shepherd's pie is. It's a meat pie. A lot of people just use the meat. They don't use the pie crust. But I feel that the pie crust gives it that pie feeling, you know? It makes it feel like it's a nice, regular meat pie, and it just gives that extra body to the meal itself. So that's what I have going right now. I have the ground beef going. I have the potatoes going. So while I'm waiting on this stuff to cook, I'm going to start on my gravy. And with the gravy, simple gravy, take about 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of flour, brown those together and whisk it. And that's what I'm going to do here. Or you can, if you're one of those people who like to just buy the gravy in the can or in the jar, it's pre-made, you're welcome to do that as well. This is your recipe. You can do what you like with it. Okay? And this is how I'm going to do this one. Because the gravy adds a little flavor to it. And what I'm going to do with my gravy, I'm going to actually add a kick to it because I'm going to add a little spice to it because we like spicy in our house. So I'm going to add not only to the gravy but also to the ground turkey is some ground cayenne pepper and some paprika. You know, smoked paprika to the meat. You have cayenne pepper to the meat as well and to the gravy. You're going to season the gravy with sea salt and garlic as well. So, please, when you're cooking and you're making 3 different components of something, make sure you season each component. because there are times where you can season something or you can have your meat seasoned just so perfect, and you add something that's not seasoned, it takes away the seasoning to you to what you've already seasoned. And then you're, you know, just basically re-seasoning everything, and then you start to add more than what you really need because of the size of the dish. So I myself, I season each and every dish, especially when I'm making something separate like this. I'm making three separate items and I'm going to put it together. I like to put them all together and season them all together. And when I put them together, all of those spices will blend together into a nice, wonderful harmony. So the meat is almost brown and almost ready to go. And the gravy, it's going. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add some cream to it. You can use heavy cream, milk, or you can add beef stock to it. However you want to do it. Again, this is your gravy. So I'm adding some cream to it. And I'm going to whisk this all together until it forms a nice gravy. And what I'm going to do, once this is all whisked together and nice and thick to the consistency that I want, I'm going to marry it with the meat and let those two, you know, get together and marry themselves together. So we want everything to taste like it was made in one pot. And that's what we're going for. Because it's a dish that's going into one pan. It's going to be served together, but cooked in separate components. So therefore, we want everyone to feel or even, you know, get the feeling that it's all in one pot. This was all made together. You just put it all in one dish and you say, here, I'm putting this in the oven and it's done. And that's what you're looking for when you're making a dish such as this. So, again, I have the oven set at 375, so it's preheating. And, again, my meat's almost brown. And because it's turkey meat, I really don't have to drain it because there's no fat. The only fat that's added is the fat that I'm going to add from the gravy. So that's going to be added to that, and it's going to be married, and it's going to be nice and succulent, and this gravy is just so awesome right now. I wish you guys can taste it. And we're going to marry that with the meat. And this recipe itself makes 2 9-inch pie crusts. The pie crust that you can buy for a regular pie, this makes 2 of them. So not only can you have it for a meal today, but you can actually have it for lunch tomorrow, even a snack for the kids when they come home from school. You know, it's already pre-made. All I do is cut them a slice, and there you have it. Done. You know? So that's just, you know, a perfect meal, especially with the weather. This is a comfort meal as well. You know, you want something to stick to you and soothe you and make you feel good. And we can make this and sit in front of our fireplace and enjoy a movie or play a game together as a family and eat this. And I mean, you're just, when you're done with this and you're done playing games and you go to lay down, you feel good. You really do. I mean, you can't feel any better than that. So now that the gravy is done and the meat is brown, I'm going to marry those two together. And you're going to mix that in, let that blend in together. Now keep in mind, I've seasoned the gravy. I've seasoned the meat. So you have 2 seasoned components moving, you know, working together. I'm going to bring this down to a simmer. in the meantime, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get my potatoes out and let those drain so I can add my items to the potatoes. And what I'm going to add to the potatoes is just something simple. I'm going to add, again, about 2 tablespoons of butter. You're going to add 1 egg. And what I do is I'm going to take the butter and the egg, or the butter, the egg, and the cream. I'm going to whisk those together. So when I marry it with the hot potatoes, the egg doesn't actually cook. Okay? So that's what I'm going to do there. And then I'm going to add it with the potatoes, and I'm going to mash those up and get those all nice and firmed, and I'm going to season those. Now, keep in mind, I boiled my potatoes in seasoned salt water, but, you know, I still would like, one time again, I'm adding other components to it. Once I add those other components, I want to taste it and make sure that it's seasoned properly. So when I go to put it in the oven, because I'm going to bake this in the oven at least 30, 35 minutes, or until, you know, the potatoes are brown on the top. Okay? So, in a separate bowl, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to get some heavy cream, or some, you know, you can use heavy cream, half and half, whipping cream, whatever you like. And you want to put some of that here in a bowl. And you want to get your egg out as well. You're going to use one large egg yolk. You're not going to use the entire egg. You're just going to use egg yolk. We're going to put that in there. But we also have to add the flour. So I'm going to add some flour to this. Again, thickening agent. Flour is always used as a thickening agent. You can use flour. Some people use cornstarch. I take a tablespoon of flour or two, and a tablespoon to those who don't have measuring cups. Just one big spoonful. And one large egg. Yolk only. And for those who are not really good at separating eggs, do it really nice and slow. Get as much of the white yolk, white out as you can, and then you drop the yellow in there. Perfect. And then I'm going to get a fork, and I'm going to whisk this together. Now, because today is Sunday, my family and I, we went to church, and we enjoyed ourselves. And my girlfriend, who is a, actually going to school to be a, I believe it's a minister, she wanted to speak some words of encouragement. But for now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get all this together. And I'll be back in a couple minutes, and what we'll do is we'll have it all together and taste it together, and we'll see how things work out. So we will talk to you in a couple minutes, and we shall reconvene. I'll have everything back. Thank you for calling in and listening to Sunday Brunch with Donald G. I'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Oh.
And we're back. Thank you all for listening. And again, what I was explaining to you guys earlier before I went to break is this is really generally a family show. And we went to church this morning and we heard a good word, and my girlfriend, fiance, she wants to speak some words of some biblical words to everyone while I'm putting this pie together. And her name is Danielle, the love of my life. And Danielle, if you can hear us, please let us know.
I'm on here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. This is what God put on my heart. We're going to look at the story where Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. And it's on my heart because it lets me know that there is a time and a season for everyone's healing. God says that in due season, if we faint not, then we'll be able to reap rewards. So starting with the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around him and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, he has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why didn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, I pray. This and all my prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. What this tells me is, there is a new season. There is a time for our healing. Some people get discouraged because they pray and they don't see anything happening. They go to church and they don't see anything happening. But there is a time, there is a reason, and there is a season for our healing. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If that father would have given up on his son's healing because the disciples couldn't do it, then his son would still be suffering. But his father didn't give up. He knew that Jesus was the one person, the one healer of all illnesses, the one healer of all evil spirits, the one person who can help any sickness, anything if all we have to do is just seek out Jesus and then be diligent, because God looks at our heart. And see, you can have a motive for good, but if your heart is not in it, then God is not going to bless that. See, he wants true worshipers, true followers. He wants someone who will sit by his side even when things don't look like they're going to work out for our good. He wants those faithful followers, those faithful disciples who, regardless of what life is throwing at us, we know that if Jesus just touches the situation, it will miraculously be better and it will not come upon us again. But we have to be faithful and wait for that due season. See, we live in a microwave generation now where we think we can just sit over, touch something, do a few circles around a block, and everything is supposed to be okay. But God wants true followers, true worshipers, who even when things are not going well, you can say, I know my Redeemer lives. Even when everything is going against you, you can say, this too will pass, that God is working this out for my good. So I know even though the pastor couldn't do it, even though the holy oil didn't do it, I know that when Jesus does touch the situation, in my due season, it will be done. And as he told the little boy, the Spirit will not come upon us again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, words of wisdom and encouragement. Everyone, if you haven't known, we are a family that prays together. And the family that prays together stays together. We love our Lord and Jesus. We love God. We worship him on a daily, hourly, by the minute. That's never a doubt in our mind, head, or anything else. But we also, we thank him for all the everything, all the greatness he's done for us. And he will always do great for us as long as we obey his word. So I just want everyone to be aware of that. This is the type of family that we are. And this is why we have our Sunday brunch together. After church service, we come home, we cook together, and we love each other. We continue our Bible studies. And this is the type of family that we are. This is what we do. And thank you, my love, for those words. And we look forward to your words on a daily basis. As the pies are in the oven, and what we're going to do is we're just going to stop the show. We're going to show everyone a picture of it once the pies are done, because I didn't get to pre-make them, anything like that, so what we can't do is I don't want to keep you on the phone for another 30, 45 minutes or on the line 30, 45 minutes. We're going to cut the show short. And we're what? Speak. A music break. For what? Okay. All right. Well, this is a live show, so things change in the middle of everything. So what we are going to do, so we're going to take a nice little break and reconvene here. I believe my fiance has some other words of wisdom that she wants to speak with you. So in the meantime, let us take another break, and we will talk to you all really soon. God bless and eat healthy.
You're listening to The Sound.
Everybody running, trying to figure out why. So cool, who win all the time. Everywhere you go, man, you get a lot of shine. You're like a magnet, ready at a habit. Everything you wear, people say you gotta have it. From the sweat suit to the white tee to the blue.
Okay, and we're back. Now, ironically enough, for some reason, it says that the disciples were unable to heal the possessed boy. And it starts off saying that as Jesus walked up to them, they were disputing amongst themselves. He said, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. First of all, the disciples had no reason to be arguing with the teachers of the law because they were the true understudies of the true teacher. So when you are on one level, you are not supposed to allow someone to bring you down to the level that they're on. And Jesus, being God's son, had the Spirit of God on him and in him. So he was able to keep himself on a level that no one else could touch. You know, a lot of times, people nowadays that like to say, get on my level. Well, see, with Jesus, you couldn't get on his level. That's our goal, is to get on his level. That's our goal, is to be able to have the power that he has, to be able to have the love that he has, and to be able to show the care and concern that he has. Jesus didn't get on the level of the disciples and the teachers to prove who was right or wrong in the argument because it was irrelevant. He knew his mission was a mission of love and healing. He came as that tender lamb. He came as that gentle lamb. And that gentle lamb was the one to argue and fight. So he went straight to his job. And his job was to heal the sick. So therefore, that sick boy, that sick father, that sick family, he had to get that evil spirit out of that family, out of that home, and out of that boy so that they could have their due season. The father said that this spirit had been plaguing his family for years, since this boy was a child, from childhood. A lot of us have spirits in our families that we've been battling for years, whether it's a spirit of poverty, whether it's a spirit of drugs, whether it's a spirit of homosexuality. These evil spirits are in our lives and in our homes, and that's why we need Jesus, not church, not religion, but Jesus, a true relationship with Jesus to fight these spirits. See, the Bible says if you accept and admit that Jesus Christ is God, admit that you are a sinner, admit that you have these evil spirits in you, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that he lived, died, buried, and rose in 3 days. Believe that his blood washes away all your sins. And see, commit. You commit your life to him. You commit your heart to him. You commit your will to him. You commit to submit. Then you will be saved. Then those spirits will leave.